Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
So you just got it already, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is episode 40, recorded December 6th, 2010.
All right, here we are then.
Hello! So, do you have some fishy updates for us today?
Well, just,
You know, about fish, not suspicious activities.
Okay, well, there are the fries of the celestial pearl danio, the fry of the celestial pearl danio and rainbow fish are getting bigger. They're still not distinguishable as far as species goes, but they're eating a lot of grindleworms, Walter worms, microworms, and banana worms, some pulverized golden pearls. They seem to like all of those and are growing pretty fast on them. By the way, the golden pearls are great for the adult CPDs. After having used them for a while, I can say I like golden pearls. They work. So if you're interested in them, check them out at brineshrimpdirect.com. And once again, I don't get any money or anything for saying that, but I just think they're a good product, so I'm letting you know.
Okay.
I would just like to take this opportunity to interject that in the resources page for last week's episode, episode 39, which was One Good Spawn Deserves Another, I put Robert from Michigan's pictures up on the resources page, so go check them out.
We have a question this week. We had a phone message from Brenna, so we're going to listen to that and then discuss it.
All right.
Hi, my name is Brenna, and I have a fish question. I'm really afraid of fish. Like, when you open the lid of the tank, I'm really afraid that these fish are going to, like, fly out at me and flop all over the floor, and, like, because that really freaks me out. That happened to me when I was a kid. Like, my dad always kept an aquarium, and one morning I woke up, like, he left the lid open. And, I woke up and these fish were, like, all over the floor and I was freaking out. So now these fish, like, coming towards the top of the tank, like, really freaking out. So I want to know, how can you physically oppress these fish? How can I make them stay towards the bottom when I'm opening the lid to the tank? That's my question. And it would really, like, soothe me if you could tell me an effective way to do this. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, thank you, Brenna, for your message. And that's kind of a sad problem for you, so we're going to try to help you out. Russ has some ideas he's going to let us in on.
Okay, well, the first thing, Brenna, maybe you could tell us, if you have a chance to email us or call us back, is what kind of fish you have, because certain kinds of fish are a lot more prone to jump than others, and some of them are, you know, champion jumpers, and will jump out of any small crack that or cranny that's available between the lid and the outside world. And others are really not that given to doing so. So that might help. We might be able to give you some more specific information if you can tell us what kind of fish you have. But another thing, of course, make sure you have a nice tight-fitting lid and you don't leave it open, as your father unfortunately did. But another thing that can really help fish not jump out is some plant cover at the surface. Now, these don't have to be real plants. They can be if you have a tank set up that allows for real plants, floating plants. Some good ones for, you know, a basic tank with not much more than just stock lighting that you get with any tank are things like hornwort or Ceratophyllum demersum is the scientific name. That's a great one. It'll grow in almost anything. Water sprite's another one. That does pretty well if it's floating at the surface. Things like that at the surface tend to help the fish feel more relaxed and protected and less stressed and less likely to jump. So you can consider putting some cover plants such as those. And those are by no means the only species you could use. Those are just a couple of suggestions. Once again, plastic plants would work too, and most plastic plants float unless you make them sink with some sort of anchor. So you can take off the little container at the bottom that's used to hold gravel or whatnot, and just let some of those float at the surface if you'd rather use plastic plants. but that can minimize jumping. Another issue is that basically fish are conditioned to come to the surface for food because fish learn, and as every time that there's food at the surface, that you put food at the surface and they happen to be at the surface when you do it, they're being rewarded for it. It's positive reinforcement for being at the surface.
Well, they learn that the food's coming from you, too. So every time they see you, they swim to the top thinking, oh, I'm going to get fed.
Yeah, so most fish tend to learn to do that very quickly. And there's not a whole lot you can do about that fact except for find out something else that rewards them. Depending on the type of fish, you could consider using a sinking food and maybe introducing a small piece of sinking food first so they learn to go down and eat it, and then maybe leave the tank alone for a minute as they start working on that food so they're not thinking, oh, I need to come up to the surface because I get that food up there at the surface. Instead, you just open the tank lid just a crack and slip a little bit of food that sinks immediately down and then let them work on that for a while. And then they'll learn that, oh, when someone comes near the tank, I need to go down to the bottom of the tank and eat there. And then later, while they're working on that and they're busy at it, you can try to unobtrusively slip a little bit more food in that will come to the surface, that will be at the surface, but by then they'll be down at the bottom and interested in doing that. Might work. It depends on the fish, of course. Some fish are a lot more likely to want to feed at the surface than others, again, and so on. So knowing what type of fish you have could make a difference. But you can actually train fish to stay at the bottom of the tank until you give them a signal, or to go to the bottom of the tank and wait for food. It's possible to do it with quite a few species of fish. You might want to check out the podcast on fish training that we did a while ago. I have a betta that I've trained to flare and with his fins, and actually do a big tail beating or tail wagging dance every time I feed him, before I feed him, just with a hand signal. And if you can do that, you can train a fish to go down to the bottom of the tank. You can train a fish to follow a target stick, for example, and be fed when the target stick is down near the bottom of the tank. So think about that as a possibility. So if you're interested in that, you can check out podcast
30.
It's episode 30 of Aquarimax, so that might give you a few ideas. There are actually commercially available fish training units that you can get, and we have a link to the website at that podcast that can help you out if you're interested in that. So there you go.
And good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that, and please email us or call us and let us know how it's going and which measures you've taken and how they're working for you.
Okay, we have something that we're a little bit excited about coming up, and we're going to give you a little bit of a teaser of it, kind of whet your appetite. So, Russ, you want to tell us what we're going to be talking about in a few more weeks?
Sure. One thing that I didn't mention last week when we were talking about resources, and mm-hmm. I should have mentioned, I think I obliquely made a reference to it, but one good reference or resource is magazines, or maybe there are a collection of resources which are known as magazines, something like that. Anyway, aquarium magazines are a good resource, and I subscribe to Aquarium Fish International, which also now contains Freshwater Marine Aquarium. In fact, something that really helped me a lot some years ago was finding a whole bunch of back issues of Freshwater Marine Aquarium in the library that were all bound together. And I took two volumes of them home and just went through those and came up with all sorts of ideas that helped me mature as a hobbyist, I guess. Ideas for, do-it-yourself filters and all kinds of good stuff that I really enjoyed in that. That helped me, gave me a boost, so to speak. So, magazines are a big resource. Speaking of magazines, this is a segue, by the way, a long-winded and tangential one, but a segue nonetheless. Speaking of that, I was looking at Aquarium Fish magazine. I have, for the last few months, in fact, seen this ad for an aquarium filter. It's called the Everclean Aqua filter. And the website is evercleanaqua.com. www. comes first, of course. Anyway.
We'll put that on the resources.
I was a little bit intrigued by it, and so I decided to look into it a little bit more, went to the website, and looked it up, and was pretty interested and kind of impressed by what I saw. And so I contacted the website. There was a contact us field there, and so I contacted the website, and they, Joe from Everclean Aqua sent me a filter to review after I asked him about that. And I said, we'd like to review this filter on AquariMax. And he said, oh, that would be great. And so he sent me one, and it just arrived today.
Woo-hoo!
That was about, what, a week ago or so when I first started corresponding with him?
Yeah.
So he sent it right away, and it took a while to get here, I guess, with the December mail rush or whatever.
Yeah.
But it just got here today, and we're excited about it. It's a very interesting product. I have not seen a filter like this in some time, so I'm very excited about trying it out. And I'm thankful to Joe for allowing us to do a review on AquariMax. Mm.
So you said you were impressed by the website. Tell us how this filter seems different from other filters.
What okay.
makes it special?
All right. Well, of course, there are three different types of filtration, basically, right? There's mechanical filtration, there's chemical filtration, and there's biological filtration. And most filters do some combination of those, two or more, usually. And but basically what we want to do with mechanical filtration is get detritus out of the system. So the uneaten food, the fish waste, the decaying plant material, all of that stuff, we want to get it out of the system before it turns into toxic wastes. Okay? But the cool thing is, with this system, is the way that it does it, because where does detritus usually end up? Well, it ends up in the filter pads, and it ends up in the substrate.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea behind this filter is, it doesn't end up in the substrate. Little or none of it stays in the substrate for long, because pretty much all of it ends up in the filter pads. And that's a great thing by itself. But also, the pads are put together in such a way that they're really amazingly easy to clean, because it's hard to describe, so you'll have to see the video. And I'm going to put a video on the resources page, because Joe from Everclean Aqua was kind enough to allow me to embed them on our site. So you should check it out. But basically, when you need to clean the pads, you take the lid off and hold it upside down, and it becomes a tray, and then you take another section of the filter off and set it in there, and they constitute a tray. You go bring it over to the sink, you rinse it off, and then you bring it and set it back in.
So it doesn't drip on the way there?
Yeah, it doesn't drip on the way there.
That makes for happy spouses!
Yeah.
Or roommates, or, you know.
And cleaner floors, and, you know, all that
kind of
stuff.
Dryer socks.
So, that's really pretty nice, I think. And you can do it, you can rinse that off, because the filter pads do not constitute part of the biological filter. The biological filter is down at the bottom of the tank. So it's very, very interesting. One thing that we should stress, though, is that it's not an undergravel filter, even though part of it is under the gravel. But it's not the same thing as an undergravel filter at all.
Okay. So we are going to be testing this in the goldfish tank? Are we testing it in the goldfish
yes,
tank?
Yes, we're testing it in a 37-gallon tank with three
nice
goldfish
big,
in
it. Big, messy goldfish. That ought to be a good test.
Yes.
So we will be testing it out in the goldfish tank for a while, and then we will let you know what we think of it and how it has performed.
Yeah, well, I want to tell you more about it, though.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I jumped the filter there.
That's okay. Because, like I said, it's not an undergravel filter, even though part of it's undergravel. I need to elaborate and
okay.
say what I mean by that. Because
what do you mean by that, Russ?
Well, this is what I mean. Okay, an undergravel filter, what's the main problem with it? I don't like undergravel filters because they don't work very well, but there's a reason why. Oh, man, look.
The station break is going to come eat us.
Just
we'll be
hang
right
out with
back.
Us. We'll be right back.
This isn't a commercial, because it's not trying to sell you anything. It is, however, the part where we shamelessly encourage you to be a part of the Aquarimax audio show by calling and leaving a message any time of the day or night at 801-477-0629. If you don't want to actually talk, but you do have a comment or question, you can just send us an email to info@aquarimax.com. There. That wasn't so painful now, was it? Here we are! We're back! Okay. So, you were about to elaborate on why you have such unhappy feelings toward undergravel filters.
Okay. The thing about an undergravel filter, it's a great biofilter, but the detritus ends up under the filter plates. And you have to gravel wash to get it out. And even if you do gravel wash, you're probably not going to get all of it out. So there's all this waste sitting there. And biologically, it may indeed be processed by bacteria. But you're still going to get all kinds of nitrates from that.
Which is not a happy thing.
So
right?
Water quality is still degrading, okay. Right, because that nitrate's not good. So even though undergravel filters were great in that they acknowledged biofiltration, they let all that ugly detritus sit there. And you could have water that looked really super clear, but as we all know, water clarity does not equate with water quality. So you could maybe make a little analogy about someone who cleans a room by sweeping all the trash they find on the floor under the rug.
Is that basically what they do?
That's kind of what undergravel filters do in a way, because it's still there. All the waste is still there.
You just don't see it.
The idea with keeping a tank clean, keeping water quality high, is to export those nutrients from the system. And you can't do that by just letting them sit and fester and putrefy under that filter. So this filter, the EverClean Aqua, is nothing like that, because it does have some plates on the bottom, but the plates under the plates are these this network of tubes, and the tubes have power heads connected to them, or something like power heads, pumps of some kind that pull water actively from the water column, and under these filter plates they pull and push all the detritus through. They pull it down under the gravel, which is kind of like what an undergravel filter does, but once it gets there, these tubes pull
it
all along actively.
So it's like you have a hose vacuum sort of under your gravel.
Yeah, and it pulls it all towards another pump, and that other pump pumps it all the way up out of the tank and into the filter box.
Woohoo!
And one of the videos on the website is pretty cool, because you can see it. He has a cutaway view there, and he dumps some detritus into the tank, and you get to see what happens and how the tubes, a network of tubes under the plates, push it all the way over to this other pump and then suck it up, and it lands right in the filter, and you get to watch the whole thing, and it takes like a minute and a half or something, and all the gunk that he dumped in there goes all the way up and it's gone. It's up in the filter box. So export of nutrients from the tank is amazingly simple, and because all of that detritus up there, if you are just exporting it by rinsing it out, it's not going to affect your water quality. It's gone from the system. So it's a really good way to keep high water quality, which is a great thing with messy fish, or any fish, of course. This filter is great for things where you can have a fairly large, loose sort of substrate, where the particle size of the substrate is big. So that's what we're going to try it as. And like I said, I haven't tried it yet, but I'm enthusiastic about trying it, and we'll see what we get. And I'm going to give a review. Actually, I'm not just going to do it. Kelly and I are both going to do a review. We're going to talk about it. We're going to have some pictures, some before and after kind of thing.
I'll do the dry sock test to make sure there's really no dripping going on.
Yeah, and so we're gonna try it out and give you a review, give you our opinion of what we think about this filter and how it works, and then we'll know. But I'm optimistic about it just because of what I've seen and the idea behind the filter. One thing that really turns me off when someone talks about a new filter is if they say, you don't need to do water changes with this filter or something like that. That is ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. I am a great believer in regular partial water changes, and if someone says you don't need to change the water, that's a warning sign. There are whistles and bells going off. warning, warning, red alert, going off when I hear that.
Too good to be true.
Yeah, too good to be true. So, that's another thing I love about the EverClean Aqua System is because he says you need to still perform regular water changes. But you may not need to do as many because the water quality is going to be higher, but you still need to do them and you need to monitor your water quality, which is great. That makes sense. It's realistic.
Responsible fish keeping.
Yes, and so that's one thing that I'm optimistic about. And of course, I don't want to jump the gun. I want to make sure that this works, so I'm going to do this review process. But over the next few weeks, we're going to start that process. Probably by the next podcast, we will have set up the... Well, I'm sure by the next podcast, we will have set up the system and started the test and give you some preliminaries, as well as a blow-by-blow account of how long it took to set it
maybe
up and how it felt like. Well, we should. Maybe we can do a video podcast, or at least put a video up.
Put it on the resources.
Yeah, we'll do something like that so that you can see how it works. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. I haven't been this excited about a filter since BioWheels came out, you know? And since, you know, sponge filters years and years and years ago. So we're excited to try it. Check out the resources page. I'll embed those videos. And you can see them and go to the website itself and see what's going on.
So in the meantime, you can enjoy all the anticipation of hearing how it performs. Have a lovely night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.